Hey, I need a Snicker bar.
Just a Snicker bar.
Yeah, just saving one. All righty, guys. Any coffee? Anybody want to go get coffee? Now would be a great time to go do this. I don't know how we're going to roll that over there, but coffee's going to be available. There's a nice coffee shop, too, for specialized coffee. So now we can have frou-frou coffee, okay? Espresso, yeah. So anyway, so it was going to be there. So if you want to get some Kenyan coffee today, it's available. You can just go grab a cup and bring it here. Okay, title of my message is Crossing Over. I'm very smart, so I came up with this title just like that. You know what I'm saying? You know, just crossing over. So if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 14. I was going to bring my Moses stick this morning. Anybody seen my Moses stick? I was going to bring it, but then I'm like, no, we'll do that another time. Exodus chapter 14, verse 21 and 22. It's also up there. It says, "Then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord open up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all night, turning the seabed into dry land. So the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground, with walls of water on each side. The people of God walked through the Red Sea. It was not just a little stream of water." I've read many things where people say, well, it was not even the Red Sea, it was something else. It was a little pool that the wind came. It was the Red Sea. Deep Red Sea that the wind blew all night long and made that seabed dry. So when the people walk across, they walked on dry land, dry ground. It was a miracle that only God could do. Crossing of the Red Sea for the children of Israel meant breakthrough. Breakthrough for them. They were in slavery and bondage for 400 years. That sounds funny. Is that your ringtone, Reg? You might want to get that. That might be an important call. That is funny. That's all right. That's good. Yeah, that's good. Hey, this is part of being a family. Phone will go off at any time, and that is perfectly fine. My phone can go off too. I don't think I've turned it off. See, it's still on. And I don't care. I'll leave it on. So if it goes off, it's okay. All right? You can answer. It's not going to bother me. Crossing over the Red Sea for the children of Israel meant breakthrough. Breakthrough. After 400 years of being in bondage, breakthrough actually came. Crossing over means closure, the closing of one chapter as well as the beginning of a new one. Closure means you're closing the book. You're turning the page on this chapter and then you're flipping over and you're starting a brand new one. Crossing over means that completion. It symbolizes completion. You have completed the task that God has set before you. And now you're getting ready for something new. You're like, Lord, what is this new thing that you want me to do in this time, in this assignment? Like the reason why we're here in Kodiak. Why are we here in Kodiak and not somewhere else? Have you ever thought about this? Many of you could have been other places. You could have been in England. I could have stayed in England too. But we're here for a reason, for a purpose, a divine purpose. And we can only discover that when we trust God and we follow Him. And He's got this plan that He's going to unfold for us as we trust the plan. Even though it doesn't make sense, a lot of things that God will ask us to do, guys, will not make sense. Will not make sense. You guys have been on journeys in your own personal life where you've trusted God when it did not make sense. You just trusted Him to be ahead of you and leading the way, and you just followed. That's how we got here. That's how Don and I and our family, we got here. We got here in a place where we trusted God. We knew He was calling. We heard His voice. We said, lead the way. You lead the way, and then we're going to cross over. So any season that you're ending, you're actually crossing over. So now, in this season, Oceans, we are bringing to closure a chapter here. We bring it to an end. Because God is about to open up a new chapter for us. It's exciting. It's exciting. It's like, it's unknown. We don't know exactly what to expect. It's like you're reading this beautiful fiction novel. I don't read fiction, but you know, but I watch movies. You know, a lot of time when you're watching something, what's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen. But you trust that whoever wrote this, the script, has got it planned so that he can keep your attention. Writers have a beautiful way of doing that. Directors of movies have got a beautiful way of keeping the audience captive to the point that they don't switch off, because the last thing you want to do is switch to another movie because it did not capture your attention. God can write good stuff. He's the perfect director. And our life can be seen as a movie. Our path, our journey can be seen as a movie where God is keeping us on the edge of our seats. And it's like, you have no idea yet. But I've got something good for you. Would you trust me? And then as you're going in and you're following, I'm like, Lord, what is it? What is it that you have for me? What is it that you want to say to me today? For the past few weeks, I've been like this. I've been kind of like this little kid that would wake up in the morning, or I would go to bed, and as I'm going to bed, I was like, what are you going to tell me this morning? Saturday morning, when before we watch our soccer game, yeah, it was like 4:30, I woke up and I was like, I had a smile on my face, and I was like, I wonder what he's going to tell me today. I wonder what kind of adventure is going to lead me on today. It was a beautiful thing, a beautiful moment. I remember grabbing my journal and I started writing things that he was describing in this new season, in this new thing, how he wanted me to navigate in a certain way, or how he wanted me to stay back out of a few things and say, you don't need to do everything at this time. Pace yourself. That's what I heard. It was beautiful. I did not understand fully what it meant. Until you're entering that season, then you're like, now I understand why God said what He said. Now I understand why I'm on this path, on this journey, at this specific time. A lot of time when we think about time, we always think about the chronological time, the ticking of the clock. We function like this as human beings. But within the ticking of the clock, God has set aside segments of God-appointed time. Where He set those time segments, and He said, I've created this segment here for a purpose. For you to be able to engage in me as I lead you. The Greek word for this is kairos. The other one is Chronos. That's where we get the chronological ticking of the clock. That's where I keep clock. I know we reach a certain time, and I know I need to wrap things up. I'm on a Chronos. But at the same time, as we are surrendering to God, I said, Lord, I follow the Chronos, but you lead the Kairos. You show me the Kairos moment. You show me the segment that you set aside for divine appointments. For the beginning of a chapter. For new things that he does. So that's the adventure. That's the adventure that you and I are on as Christians, is to say, Jesus, open up a little Kairos moment for me. Show me what you got in store for me. And as you follow him, those Kairos moments will become more and more frequent. You start having encounters with God on a daily basis. You wake up and you expect him to say something. You expect him to bring somebody in your path, so that when you're entering this new season, you know that it's going to be good. It's going to be great. It's going to be amazing. In this church, we've opened up a few chapters. If you're new here, I want you to listen to this, because we were not as big, as strong as what we are now. There were times where there was nobody. Chapter 1 was the time, what I call the title of this chapter, Grand Slam, where we met in a little place down the street this way, and nobody came. It was for a reason. At the moment when I was in chapter 1, when I'm reading chapter 1, and I'm like, Lord, you are not even here. But he was. It was in those times when he was pressing and crushing. He was making new wine. I had no idea he was making new wine. I'm like, you're making something else. It's sour stuff. It is not right. But I did not know that God was making this beautiful new wine. He was pressing. He was crushing. He was pushing me to my limits in terms of how I believe, how I function, how I change and renew my mind to trust him. Now I look back at chapter 1, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad chapter 1 was along, because chapter 1 prepared us as a church for chapter 2. Then became Ardinger's days. It was amazing. Church flourished. The green came, and everybody else, and there's people that came all the time, and the church was full until people were sitting on the floor. When the Barnes came, there was no chairs for them. You sat on the floor on the nice cushy carpet. It was nice, beautiful. It was a beautiful place. I loved when we were there and we were able to look outside and see the whole harbor. It was beautiful. It was a refreshing and nourishing place. We reached out. We never stopped. That's the thing. We never stopped looking outside of the four walls. We kept looking for opportunities to bless this community, to be an integral part of this, and not just be a church that sits and hides. But we wanted to be visible. We wanted to be a light. We wanted to be salt. We wanted to make something count. And we did. So chapter 2 was amazing. Chapter 3 is here. That's KCS. We grew. That's where you came. Sure.
My mom was an assistant in the place.
Yeah.
She was just taking the absolute.
Yeah.
Could you pray for us?
Absolutely, right now. Let's pray. Lord, this is a Kairos moment. This is exactly what we've been talking about, a Kairos moment. Lord, we lift up Bernadine to you, Lord God, right now. We thank you, Lord God, that you are with her, that you're leading, you're guiding the hands of Every one of the medical staff that are working with her right now. Speak peace. Speak comfort. Above all, Lord God, we speak that she is healed by your stripes. We thank you, Lord God, that your word says that we are healed by your stripes. You bring comfort, you bring peace. You've sent your word that we may be healed. And we claim that over her right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. We speak, we believe. Kairos moment. Kairos moment. Thank you for stopping me. That's important. As a body, as a family, that's what we're here for. We're here for moments like this where we can stop what we're doing. We can stop that chronos and say, yeah, tick-tock, tick-tock. We got things to do. Give God time to speak. Don't make your walk with God such a tick-tock, tick-tock. Come with petition, with request. Lord, I need this, I need this, I need this. God is listening. He knows our needs before we even open up our mouth and ask for anything. What he really desires is for us to just quiet ourselves and said, Father, I love you. You're a good father to me. Speak to me. Tell me. Tell me your plans. Give me a little glimpse of something. Let me get a little sneak peek of that next chapter. God being a good God, guess what he'll do? He'll let you see a little bit. He'll let you kind of take a little peek and see what he's got in store for you. So chapter 4 is our new home. A new home. Not just, see, when we think about a building, we think about just a place of containment. A place where you can go in and just be sheltered and not exposed. A home is something different. A home is someplace where you go in and there is his presence there. There is the comfort. There is the peace. There is the growth. There is everything that you need to make it comfortable with your home, with your family. But guess what? You are always on the lookout. Lord, I want to reach outside again. Even though I might be comfortable here in this new home with this new family, but I'm looking out for the harvest. I'm waking up to what you got in store for me. I don't want to be satisfied. So in this next season of chapter 4, we're going to have a new home. But guess what? We are not going to be satisfied. We are not going to be satisfied. It would be a shame if we go into a big place where we don't have to find or wiggle our way to find a seat. Or we don't want to show up late because guess what? Everybody would know we came late. Have you ever been there when, you know, you guys would come to church and like, man, if I walk in there, everybody would be watching me. We're going to a big place where, guess what? Even if you're late, it's okay. Nobody's going to be turning around and watching you. You can just sneak in the back and be discreet about it and nobody's going to know. You know, that's a beautiful thing to celebrate. But in a big home with a big family, nobody cares. Nobody cares. And that's what a new family is going to bring in. It's going to bring comfort. It's going to bring peace. It's going to bring unity in the body of Christ. We talk about unity so much as in Kodiak, as unified body, all serving one God. But guess what, church? We are putting this into practice. We're not just talking about it. We are doing it. We are doing something brand new for the kingdom of God. So when we enter this new chapter, we might not know every single thing that is written in that next chapter, but we don't care because we know the author of that chapter. And he's a good writer. He's a creative one. He's very creative. He's going to keep us on the edge of our seats. That's how good he is of a writer. And this is what he says about that next chapter. You want to hear it? You want to know what God says about this next chapter? Well, I'm going to tell you. And I know you came here for that. You want to know what God has in store for that next chapter. Okay. I'm just going to have to tell you. I mean, I'll be trying to keep it in, but I'm just going to have to release it. And then I'm going to have to ask Don to forgive me later on for kind of letting it out of the bag. But I just have to tell you. I got to do it. Okay? Ready? Okay. You got to be writing this down. Okay? Jeremiah 29:11. Everybody got it? Jeremiah 29:11. And this is what it says. This is it. This is the biggest reveal party that we can have about this next chapter. Here it says, "For I know the plans I have for you," says the Lord. Says the author of that chapter. I know the plans that I have for you. I know the words that I put down in that next chapter for you. They are plans for good and not for disaster. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that's good news right there. It says the plans that I have for you in that next chapter, they are good, not for disaster. To give you future and a hope. That's good enough for me. That's good enough. Just by hearing God say this for that next season, I'm happy. I'm like, Jesus, thank you. Jesus is saying here, I have seen your future. Because I wrote it. And I've declared that future good. Good and full of hope. That's what God is saying there in Jeremiah 29:11. God is saying, you cross over into that next season, into this next chapter. You cross over. I am ahead of you. God has already gone ahead of us. He said, you cross over because I've already gone before you. So when the children of Israel, they walked on that dry ground when the wind blew on each side all night, guess what? The Holy Spirit did it. The Holy Spirit, God was ahead of the children of Israel. That's the reason why they walked on dry ground. Because God made it a dry ground for them to walk on. As we cross over, there are four things I want you to remember as we cross over. The first thing is this. It's a very important one. It's called price. There's a price to cross over. There's a price to cross over. A price that you might think you might have to pay yourself to cross over. Again, I've got good news for you. You won't have to pay anything to cross over. You won't have to do anything extraordinary to cross over. The children of Israel, all they did is just put on they strapped on some sandals. They put on a few things in a sack, and they crossed over. They didn't have to do anything extraordinary. They just trusted the voice of Moses. They trusted the voice of their leader, Moses. As Moses was trusting the voice of God. As Moses trusts the voice of God, I am going to trust the voice of God. So when I'm speaking to you guys, I'm speaking to you guys as my family. I am very protective of my family. I am super protective of my family. When I'm telling you that God has spoken and we're going there as one family, I'm saying this because I 100% believe it. Otherwise, we're not moving. Otherwise, we don't go. Because I will never put my family at risk. That's how determined I am about this. This is how strongly I feel about this. The price was paid by the blood of Jesus. I did not pay the price. price to cross over. You shouldn't have to pay any price to cross over. This is how the children of Israel crossed over. He says, but the blood on the doorpost will serve as a sign, marking the houses where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. Today the blood is on the doorpost of our hearts. Not even on a building. It's on the doorpost of our hearts. When the father sees the blood of his son, he says, that will do. That will do. That's what I need to see. The blood of Jesus was the right price. It will not only grant us safe passage, but it will make sure that no harm from the enemy will reach us. I want you to catch this. That's very important. It's not just paying the way for us to cross over, but it will also make sure that no plagues will reach us. No harm will reach us because of the blood of Jesus on the post of our hearts. That's the price that was paid for the crossing over. Number two is closure. This is how Apostle Paul said this in Philippians 3:13. He says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on one thing. One thing. One thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. That's what we must do as a church. We must forget the past and looking forward for what God has for ahead of us. How do we forget the past? How do we forget the past? Travel light. Travel light. Don't carry any excess baggage in that next season. Don't carry any excess baggage. Excess baggage could be hurt, pain, unforgiveness, bitterness. Just let them behind. They belong to Egypt. Not in the next season. Not in the next chapter. You want to be light when you're traveling. Let go of the past. I'm going to tell you something that is very deep. Very, very theologically based. It's a quote, and you probably need to write that down. And I'm going to tell you the author of that quote in just a little bit. But it's very deep. You need to write this down. I get to where I'm going by walking away from where I've been. I get to where I'm going by walking away from where I've been. And the author is Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh says, I get to where I'm going by walking away from where I've been. Angelo, that's pretty good there, right? That's a good quote. That's a good quote. I get to where I'm going by walking away from where I've been. We have to get to the place where we walk away from where we've been so that we can see where God is leading us. We got to walk away from where we've been. Number three is press. I press on to the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. We must press on. Pressing on means a stronger resilience, a stronger commitment, a stronger faith. It means making progress in the right direction. I'm going to give you a very theologically heavy scripture now. You thought Winnie the Pooh was pretty awesome. Now listen to this one. Keep going in the direction I tell you to go, no matter what it begins to look like. Keep going in the direction I tell you to go, no matter what it begins to look like. Now that's a quote from Pilgrim's Progress. Everybody familiar with that? Pilgrim's Progress? That's a quote from that. Keep going in the direction I tell you to go, no matter what it begins to look like. Guess what? When the children of Israel walk across, guess what? They saw stuff. I'm sure they saw fish on that wall of water, like probably a whale, probably a great white shark, okay? No, in the Red Sea, they don't have great white shark. They have what? The big one. Hammerhead. Yes, that's the word. Hammerhead sharks. There's a lot of them. I watch National Geographic, so I know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Okay. So there's a lot of hammerhead in the Red Sea. I'm sure they were like poking their head out and looking at them like this. And, use your imagination. There was stuff flying in this wall there. They could see things. But no matter what it begins to look like, did not stop them from crossing over. So as we're crossing over, you might see stuff like, might be scary. Like, oh my gosh, there's people staring at me. I came in late. Or whatever it might be. But do not let the things change the course of where God has put you on. You might see things that are kind of like, hey, well, I'm not used to that. But that's okay. We'll figure something out. We'll keep going. We're not going to stop and return back to Egypt because somebody did not look at me right away. Just keep going. We are resilient people. We are strong people. Look at where we've been in chapter 1, 2, 3. We've walked some difficult paths. A look from somebody is certainly not going to stop us, right? We're going to press on. We're going to keep going. And number three, sometimes I miss that scripture when I read that in Philippians 4. I always stop at verse 13 and I don't, or 14, I don't read on. And this week I was actually reading that and it actually makes sense. I want to read this to you. It says, therefore, let us as many as are mature have this mind. If anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, here's the kicker, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Now, we might not all be on the same level of understanding at the same time. It's impossible to do that. It's impossible to think the same thing at the same time all the time. It's impossible. But this is what Paul says. No matter what your level of understanding might be, don't worry about it. Just trust God. Just trust God. You don't have to be on the same level with the same understanding to trust God the same way. All we do is just follow God's voice and say, Lord, you lead the way and I'm following. It doesn't make sense, but I'm following. I'm following him. I'm following Pastor. He's ahead. He's at the... Hello? What is this? So we just keep going. We stay united. We walk together. Church, this is an important day. This is an important, important day. This is an historical moment that we are about to see. Is God creating something really out of nothing? God uniting two bodies of believers and making them one family, under one roof, serving one God, under one mission and one vision. Assemblies or Church of God, they've been in existence for over 100 years. 100 years of history. Great things have been accomplished by either side. Thousands of churches have been planted all around the world by each one of those denominations. It's great. They're both amazing. They've both done great, great things. But not a single time in history have they joined in and done something that you're about to see next week. Joining in two bodies. So you guys are part of history. This is something that you write in your journal somewhere. Somebody better document this thing. I'm serious. I'm serious. This is kind of like unprecedented, because the guy that sits above is asking me just last week, he's got a couple of models that he wants to implement what we're going to learn now to other places. And he's asking, can you help? I'm like, yeah. That's what we're doing, is to create a model here that can be used somewhere else. How about that? We are part of this historical moment where I believe we should stop and say, Jesus, do we need to do something here? Do we need to do an altar? You know, back in the days, that's what they did. They did a little altar. They did a little memorial. It's like, I feel like it's a memorial moment. When we actually have to stop and say, Jesus, you're in the middle of this thing. We need to stop and celebrate something here because it's important. God is doing a new thing, church. And I am thrilled to walk on this journey alongside you. So next week, we're going to be across this, not across the street, but a few blocks down the street. And I want you guys to join me. Don't let me go there by myself. Okay? Don't let me go there by myself. Just like you walk with me as you trusted me from Ardingers to get here, I want you to trust me as I'm trusting God. Would you please stand? It's a different kind of service. Okay? I had a lot to say, a lot of things on my heart, and I'm happy I got it out. And I love those Kairos moments where we are willing to stop. I even stopped my preparation here because I believe it was a Kairos moment to just stop and follow the prompting of God and His Spirit to do something, to pour out whatever He's put in my heart this week. We're crossing over, guys, as one family. I want you to pray for me. I'm going to switch.